Blog Talk.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Dictator. My co-host is Neil Falster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Dictator Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Dictator. Suck my balls, suck my balls, suck them dry.
Victor, I got a question. Do you like, do you like screwing people over?
What?
Well, because you've been screwing people over with such a great podcast.
Well, thank you. No, wait a minute. Okay. All right, we are on the air. It turns out that Neil is alive and not dead. So, I mean, that's good news if you like Neil, which I'm not sure how many do, but I'm happy for now. Until I get that robot butler going. Neil, do I have any callers right now?
Let me check. I don't think we have right now. It should be coming in soon.
Okay. Today we're going to be doing a wrestling episode, and we're going to have Dylan Waco from Message Board fame is going to be joining us to talk about the ECW and maybe some Lucha. Neil, do you remember when I sent you the WCW comic this week?
Yes.
Okay. Did you get to read any of it?
Just a little bit. I kind of forgot about this one, and I remembered, oh, yeah, that's the one that had the mysterious skull mask.
Yeah. The WCW comic, I remember back when I was about, how old was I? It was 1991, anyway. It was November of 91 when I read my first comic. What the hell? It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Dictator. My co-host is Neil Falster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Dictator Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Dictator.
And we're back.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What? Oh, another great episode.
Another twice the episode.
What?
It's twice the episode.
Yeah, it's like, goddamn. Okay. So anyway. All right. What now?
I don't know. You were kind of cutting out.
Okay, I'm here now. I just had something come on AIM. Let me see now. Anyway, I was reading the WCW comic, talking about it. I remember when I first saw it, I just started reading comics, and I was like, my two loves in life were wrestling and comics. So when I saw a WCW comic in the store, it was like, oh my God, oh my God. It was like, you know, finding a big religious revelation or something. And my grandmother bought it for me, and I went home and I read it. And I mean, I thought it was awesome. And it really... Well, reading it now, I admire the effort they did to make it like an actual wrestling-ish comic book. Because the thing about it is, the WWF had comics called Battle Mania, and the WWF did comics in the late 90s, and they recently did. But they did these things where The Undertaker was a zombie fighter, which, mind you, that is awesome. I'm not going to deny it. Okay, it's like The Undertaker had to wrestle Satan or something. And I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but this right here actually tried to be a wrestling comic. You know,
it actually lasted a little bit longer than just those, like, single issues that WWF did.
Right, because, you know, there's actually a lot of stories about that with Valiant, about how WWF kind of screwed Valiant over.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is really good. The best part about the WCW comic is that at the time it happened, there was a lot of turnover in WCW's roster. So they still had Luger as the champion, but by March of 92, Luger was gone, so they had to get rid of him very quickly. They couldn't even do a title change. I think
it takes about a month to get these comics out, doesn't it?
It takes about 6 months production, actually. Or 3 months lead time. Luckily, by issue 4, the roster's kind of concrete, except for some minor things. And they're still doing the storyline of Rick Rude, but then they introduced the WCW Ghoul. Now, initially, the goal is to be the WCW Phantom, which was Ravishing Rick Rude. Which, if you ever see Rick Rude in that mask, if you ever see Rick Rude in that mask, it's clearly Rick Rude. I mean, Rick Rude has a very distinct build, and also the mustache, and also the voice. I mean, mind you, God bless Rick Rude, because he was trying to hide it. You know, wearing this long kind of shadow hat.
He's trying to make sure the gimmick doesn't come out.
Yeah, before it's time. But, I mean, he's wrestling. That's Rick Rude. But anyway, the ghoul comes. They say it's Rick Rude, but then it turns out he's not the real ghoul. The real ghoul turns up. And Sting gets amnesia at Gilligan's Island when Cactus Jack hits him on the head with a shovel. And he gets brainwashed into being Black Stinger. He dyes his hair black. He stomps the kid's birthday cake. Sting don't give a shit about nothing now.
Now, my question is, how good was WCW at this time compared to the comic?
WCW was always pretty great. In 91, they had a kind of a rough spot after Flair left, but once they had the Dangerous Alliance together, WCW was kicking ass.
They have such great twists like Black Stinger stomping cakes and all that.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, they have a pretty damn good storyline. It was Dusty Rhodes booking, so they had some really good storylines. The Ghoul was going on this rampage, so first the Ghoul and Black Stinger, they mess up the Steiner Brothers. You know, and one of the things I noticed about the comic is they took a lot of shots at Jim Ross's weight.
Constantly, once an issue.
More than once an issue. You know, so they would do this, and at a point now, it turns out the Ghoul's master plan is to ruin Sting's life and destroy WCW. Now, the Ghoul might have still been working in WCW, because I don't see it around now. Do you?
It just took a few more years for it to come into fruition.
But they had this cool brawl. The WCW roster confronts the Ghoul, and I think the Ghoul's got superpowers or something. Scott Steiner hits him with a Frankensteiner on the concrete. And they're ganging up on him, and I mean, he's beating the shit. The Ghoul is messing them up. He's kicking their ass all over the locker room. And the next issue, they show them trying to fight Sting, and I kind of said to Thomas, how many times do you people have to get beat up in one day?
It's like these people like it or something.
Then all of a sudden, Sting's fighting. Okay, then the Ghoul has Paulie Dangerously, or Paul Heyman, the founder of ECW. He's got him hanging by his necktie. And he's like this, and the Ghoul's going on about who all he's going to kill. He said he's going to kill Paul Heyman, or Dangerously, for daring to deal with him. He's going to kill Rick Rude for daring to impersonate him. And he's going to kill Sting because he's Sting. And all of a sudden, Sting and the Ghoul are fine because Sting got caught in the head again, or Sting had like this big religious vision. You know, and they're having a big fight. And all of a sudden, Rick Rude had his only face turn ever, and it was in a comic.
Does it still count, though?
Yes, I say it counts. Rick Rude's like this, what I'd like to have right now is for your green, slimy, scaly, loudmouth, shut your mouth and get your butt kicked by Ravishing Rick Rude. And I'm reading this and I'm like, holy shit! You know, it's Sting and Rick Rude pull a Goku and Piccolo and have to fight the Ghoul together. And the Ghoul is still beating them.
Since early 90s, WCW is like DVD.
Kinda, yeah. Anyway.
Do we have to remind him that it's the early 90s Sting when he still had, like, the buzz cut hair?
Neon Lobster Sting.
Yeah, that's what you call it.
When I was a kid, I thought Sting had a lobster on his trunk. I couldn't tell the difference between scorpions and lobsters. I was a very stupid kid. Okay, the Ghoul is still kicking their ass, and suddenly Cactus Jack comes and hits him with a shovel. And meanwhile, you've got the Ghoul's assistant, some mystic guy, is trying to burn the arena down, and Ron Simmons bursts through the fire and tackles him. And meanwhile, while this is happening, all I can hear is the theme song to Doom playing. Doom the tag team, not the video game. Okay, now I thought the WCW comic was going to run forever because I loved it. Obviously, everybody else did. But, alas, no, it was canceled with issue 12. But issue 12 is Big Van Vader. And Vader beats Sting. He beats him cleanly. Like, he crushes him, takes the belt. At the end of the issue, Sting's, like, depressed. He's ready to give up. And the little kid whose cake he crushed turned up. And he just told Sting he still believed in him, didn't want him to give up. But it was a nice little ending to the comic.
No, at least no cliffhanger, at least.
Yeah, I want to say one thing about the art. The art on the book was done by Ron Wilson, who had a very long run on Marvel 2-in-1 with The Thing, and he also drew The Thing solo series. He's a very good artist, and what I liked about it was, initially, the likenesses weren't too good, because you could tell that he didn't watch wrestling.
But did he give him IT photos to go by?
I think they gave him promo photo, publicity photos to go by, and some of them worked, but he didn't have photos of everybody, obviously, so his Bobby Eaton would be very off. But issue by issue, you could really see his artwork improving. I mean, not the artwork, he's great, he's a very good artist. But I mean the likenesses. You could tell that he'd started watching wrestling and learning more about it. Like how he drew the Frankensteiner, and he drew like a dead-on Frankensteiner. That's the move where Scott Steiner grabs a dude with his legs and flips him over for people who don't watch wrestling. And if you don't watch wrestling, I don't really like you. I mean, I'm not saying that you're a bad person, but you probably are. And also, it had very dynamic panel layout. He really played with panel layout, which I really liked. Now, as everybody knows, I'm an amateur writer. You know, and if I ever get to write Spider-Man or something, I swear to God I will work the ghoul into the Marvel Universe proper.
Oh yeah, the Ghoul have ownership of them.
I'm guessing they do, or maybe WWE does. I don't really know how that would work because WCW wasn't exactly known for making quality deals. The Ghoul was eventually revealed to have been Sting's trainer, who got injured at some point. And the thing about it was, when I first read this as a kid, I loved to read Pro Wrestling Illustrated, so I knew all these not inside stuff, but I knew more than the average fan would. So when it said Sting trainer, I said to myself, Rick Bassman? Who was the founder of this Power Team America, or USA or something. He's got to train Sting and Ultimate Warrior. But anyway, WCW Comics awesome. You can probably find it on eBay very cheaply. Or you could use the forbidden method.
Surely not going to the comic shop, going through the back issues, right?
You might be able to find it there. I doubt it. That's the thing about it, because comic shops are only going to hold on to stuff that's... check the quarter bins. It might be in there. Neil, do we have a caller?
No, we do not.
Okay, I guess Dylan Waco stood me up. He might turn up, he might not, I don't know. You know, so I'll just go on about this, you know. The likenesses for Van Vader in the last issue are, like, awesome. And this was, like, a very well-put-together match. Like, I would consider it, like, I would put it in my list of Vader Sting matches. Let me see, I was preparing to talk about wrestling today. What else have we got going on, Neil?
Well, I think we might do after the break, but there was a very controversial stance that you had about a certain sequel that you probably want to talk about.
I want to, but we're going to do a show about that. It's about the recent announcement about the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles.
But, yeah, the question isn't so much about that, since we kind of know that this is not what we're going to be, we're not exactly going to be getting the Ninja Turtles, per se. This is more the stance about the earlier sequels.
What I said was, there's nothing Michael Bay could do to Ninja Turtles that the two sequels didn't do. And God
knows,
he's not
counting the CGI sequel. He's counting Secret of the Ooze and the Time Travel one in Japan, number 3.
Yeah, right. I will be talking about this more because we're going to do a Ninja Turtles show in maybe 2 weeks. But I want to rewatch Ninja Turtles 2 and try to watch 3 to understand why I hate it. Well,
and how many pills are you going to need to get through 3?
I will probably need some pain pills or something. I'll probably have to hit up a doctor for some pain medicine or something. Because I've never been able to get through it. I'm not saying this because it's like, oh, it's so bad. I can't watch it. You have Casey Jones. He never cracks heads. Never does anything. You know, but again, we'll get to that probably in a week or two. But first, we're going to rewatch the movies, and I want to rewatch the CGI movie again, which I thought was very good.
Yeah, we're going to take a break right here with a promo.
Okay. They come from a time before force power. They come from a time before cosmic forces. They are a breed apart. They are the old breed, and they are here to reclaim what they have lost. Rise of an Old Breed starts April 2nd along with Duel Devil Weekend Edition. Only at horsepowerthemovie.blogspot.com.
And we're back.
I tell you, I have a rich, deep voice. I just want to make out with myself.
you don't need to get a room.
So I guess, Neil, has Dylan called in?
No, he has not.
Man, this is lonely as shit. I mean, I was very worried I was going to have to do the show by myself, and I was going to sound one of these YouTube reviewers or something who always look like they're doing a manifesto and are about to kill somebody.
It could be like Christy when he was stuck out in that shed by himself, being the only person on TV.
It's like, who's my co-host here? Franklin? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Let's get busy. Oh, and while I'm here, I want to wish a happy birthday to our frequent contributor, Eric the Podium Posen. Happy birthday.
What's his birthday today?
Yeah. It's the same day as the old.
And yours is tomorrow.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people are copying. I always assume a lot of parents do some humping in June. That's what I always assume, you know, because a lot of birthdays in March. Okay, let me try to think about this now, because I was really planning on talking about some wrestling. Well, Dylan, you want to listen to me blab about Lucha for a few minutes?
A little bit.
Okay, the other day, I was looking up a video for the luchador named Super Porky.
Super Porky?
I can't remember his name and his full name in Mexico, but he's very fat. He's like he's close to 100 pounds and he's only 5'5". I was looking for a picture of him. Well, I found a match with his brother named El Brazo, which is Super Arm, or the Arm or something. I don't know. He was taking on El Hijo del
Brazo.
He was taking on El Hijo del Santo in a mask versus hair match in around 1988, I think. It was really good, and I ended up watching the entire match. I mean, it was paced really well. Then Santo got his mask tore open, which I wasn't even aware that had ever happened to him down there. But he had his mask tore open, he was bleeding everywhere, and I mean, it had an awesome atmosphere, and it had a really good build. And the thing I liked about it was when Santo would do his dive, there was a huge buildup for it. Unlike what you see today, when you'll see guys doing like 50 flips or something, like some TNA X shit.
Yeah.
Or whatever, where it doesn't mean anything. When he did that suicide dive through the ropes, I mean, the fans went crazy. Because it was built up too properly. After that, I watched the match with Atlantis versus Kung Fu. And Kung Fu had a pretty... I like these luchador names, because they get exactly to the point, like Kung Fu. He's Karate Ninja Guy. There's a guy named Fishman. He has a fish mask. You know, but anyway, he's taking on the guy Atlantis. And again, the good way that I found when I'm watching these matches, and I could be wrong, because I'm not that educated lucha or what have you, but basically, if a guy is winning and he's dominating the match, he's going to lose. He's kind of being allowed to dominate, I think, probably as concession to losing his mask or his hair.
So it's kind of like Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Kinda. Well, that's actually a good idea about wrestling altogether. about some forms of wrestling. I mean, Steve Austin matches kind of have a Tom and Jerry vibe, because, you know, Steve Austin's going to beat the hell out of that cat at every turn. But, you know, Atlantis got his mask torn during the match, and what he did was, after the first pinfall, he went to the back to get a new mask. And to me, that was kind of a move.
How many masks do they generally carry around with them? Like, how many copies?
I guess they carry more than one. I remember reading in a wrestling magazine, this might not even be actually what he said, but Bill Mascara said he would wear two masks or try to, but he said it was too uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'd understand, actually.
Yeah, so anyway, the best one I watched was Pyrrhoff versus El Supremo. And Pyrrhoff got his mask torn up, then he started bleeding. And to me, there's nothing more pro wrestling than a dude bleeding with a mask on. Like, the mask is being held on by tatters, he's bleeding everywhere, and then he finally got the win and this dude had to unmask. And I mean, it was like, it was a crazy atmosphere. It's tough atmosphere you can't really manufacture. Because the people were just rabid for it. And again, I'm watching more. I watched the match with El Satanico versus El Dandy. And for some reason, I thought Satanico was the face. He was a good guy. Because, you know, a name like Satanico says good guy. You know, which is probably because Satanico's awesome. I think you say he looks like a Mexican Jeff Bridges.
Well, he did in that shot. He kind of looked like a chubbier Jeff Bridges.
Okay. Okay, Nils. Anybody called in?
No, they have not.
I promise I'm going to spit in the burger of the 50th color.
I like the odds.
Okay, Neil, are you going to try to get that Kid Icarus game? What's it called?
Kid Icarus Uprising, and it's either coming today or tomorrow, and no, I can't get it right now. So I can't even get to pre-order 3D Classics of the original game.
Yeah, we'll see about it probably at some point. I saw the commercials for it. It looks really good. Dolan wants to get it.
Yeah, the only thing I've heard from reviews, and this is something that's kind of been nagging people ever since they had demos of it since the beginning of this year, the controls are kind of iffy depending on either your which dominant hand you use or whichever setup you use. Where sometimes you have to use the stylus to, like, do aiming while you move around with the control stick, and you shoot with, like, you shoot or attack with, like, the L button. So, unfortunately, you might get that little type of uncomfortable, crampy claw sometimes if you play for too long.
Okay, another show we're going to be doing upcoming, and this might be next week, we're going to be doing a Saved by the Bell episode. And, cause, you know, Saved by the Bell's on Netflix, and I've already watched, like, 35 episodes. And, I mean, I think Saved by the Bell's a legit great show. I'm not going to say ironic or any crap like that. I mean, I really think it's a great show. I'm not saying it's better than The Shield, Breaking Bad, and Bad Men combined, but, yeah, I am. It is. If you got a problem with it,
And you have all the DVDs. How much do you have to pay to get the college years?
I paid about $25. I got that for my birthday last year, I think, didn't I?
That's something around there.
No, I got it in 2010. I got it in 2010 because that was before that Indian killed me.
Yeah, but that's a podcast for another time.
Yeah, but anyway, I got college years. I've got every season of New Class, you know. And we've got the Miss Bliss episode, so we're going to be doing a big episode on that. I might do Behind the Bell. Right now, I'm in the middle of reading the Wild Cards books, which I started reading just because I recognized the name of George Martin, the guy that does the Game of Thrones series.
Yeah.
It's a really good series. It's an alternative take on superheroes, and the thing about it is, they started writing it in, like, 84, 85, so that was before a lot of the stuff, you know, with the dark superheroes really got out of hand. And it had some interesting takes on it.
How interesting. How is that one from the first book that kind of got you?
Well, it's okay. The thing about it is, that one story wasn't bad. The problem with some people are they focus too much on sex because they think superheroes mature. They think mature superheroes think, oh, we got to have them, you know, fornicating and all that. But one hero.
Either fornicating or basically ripping heads off.
Yeah, this one guy's named Fortunato. He gets his power from tantric meditation, you know, where he gets jerked off and doesn't get to release. So somehow it gives him superpower. Which basically makes it sound like that he's going to go to someone.
By the power of blue balls.
You know, he's going to go up to somebody, he's going to say, jerk me off, well then crime is afoot. And that ended up happening.
No, what was the most outlandish part of that story?
Okay, he's trying to find out who's been killing his women. He's a pimp. And he's trying to find out who's been killing his ladies. I don't want to say hookers or whatever, you know, because they called them geishas in the story. But anyway, he's trying to find the dude who did it. He finds the guy. He ends up killing him during a fight. The guy's distraught that he killed him because he wants to figure out how he did it. Well, see, if he puts his, let's say, life force into another human, he possesses their memories. Well, the guy's dead. So, he ends up having relations with the dead guy to bring the guy back to life long enough to figure out who did it.
And how old is this guy?
20, 25.
Oh, wait, that's
I was just reading it. You know, it's like I told you a story. Oh, did I mention it was a man?
I thought there was one he said there was. He did it with an 80-year-old man at one point.
No, no, no.
Oh, you don't. No, that would make...
Yes, this would be a odd difference.
That would be like, okay, I'm done with the wild card series.
No, it's good. You just have to know, like, if George Martin's writing it, the chapters he was great. The saga they did about Dr. Tachyon and the Four Aces, that's great stuff. And I like
But it's still going with the type of genre pulp style, either way, right?
Right, right. It's doing that. I mean, it's good stuff. I'm trying to find the Epic comic they did for Marvel, and if anybody can help me find those, I'd appreciate it, either through legal means or the forbidden ways. I'm in the middle of book two right now, which I haven't been able to read quite as much, because, again, some periods where it seems like I can't read because my ADHD just goes out of control. But,
having a computer nearby, it's like, yeah, I could read this book, but I could read this goofy little article that someone posted online.
Kinda, or I could fiddle with podcasts, or I could do this or that. Hopefully I'm able to get a decent guest for the show. I sent J.M. DeMatteis, the writer of Kraven's Last Hunt, an invitation. He said he was going to listen to it. I'm hoping he does, because the same thing it is, if we could just show that we'll treat him with respect, you know, and it's only 30 minutes, and we'll not, you know, be pushy, or we'll have good questions.
Well, that's just going to be gushing about it. So they're not going to be like the...
Show.
Not going to be like the Chris Farley Show.
Yeah. Oh, one of the things about Saved by the Bell. Apparently, Screech is a very diehard Blink fan. Because he seemed to know who Paul McCartney was. He knew who Paul McCartney was, but he didn't know who the Beatles were. Do you think there are any Wings fans that hate the Beatles?
Oh, no. I just like hate them with a passion.
Yeah, they're just very diehard. You know, just very, very diehard fans.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway...
That's like when I heard from the podcast. It's supposed to be the voice actress Gary Delisle that does the voice like Vicky from Fairly OddParents and all the stuff. It's supposed to be she dated Mario Lopez because they went to the same high school as together.
It's very interesting, Mario Lopez, because it's hard to get a read on the guy. Because again, I'll be getting into this next. But okay, Neil, we're probably going to be having to take off soon. Get ready to load up before we go.
Yeah, we got about a minute and 30 seconds.
Okay, we'll talk more. He's interesting guy, or not necessarily. Think about it. I love A.C. Slater, but I hate Mario Lopez.
Isn't he just on Animal Planet nowadays?
No, he hosts Extra or some shit.
Oh, okay. It's not just doing Animal Planet shows.
No, he seems very, very phony about everything. Alright,
so
Dale.
He's a great big phony. A great big phony!
Alright, Dale. I still had a pretty good show this week, even though we never had, even though Dylan Waco stood us up. But, be back next week. We're going to come at... Yeah, Eric was busy today. We'll be back next week with the final episode, and in 2 weeks we'll probably be having a troll episode.
Yeah.
So join us next week, and we'll almost here next week at 2 p.m. whether it's me by myself or me and Dill. Play us out.
I love that.
And we are out. See you later.